And now may the Lord our God be with each and every one of you.
And also with you.
We need each other. Let us pray one for the other. Father, we stand amazed at your grace of what you have given us freely in Christ Jesus. Sovereign grace, nothing we deserve, but by grace we are saved. Your grace. It speaks so loudly to us of your being, of your character, and it speaks to us of what we are in you, children, your children. We thank you, Father, for that grace that brings us life in all the trials and difficulties, every event of life. You are our Father, and that same grace is by our side every moment of every day. And so we ask, Lord God, that you would open our eyes now as we come to your word. This is how you speak to us. We hear your voice in your word. Guide us and be glorified, Father. In Christ's name, and all of God's children said, amen and amen. I want you to remember where we were last week. And remember what we're talking about is what Paul says to us about we are the church of Jesus Christ. That has some meaning. We finished off last week, or we read near the end last week, from Romans chapter 7. And he talks to us about being released from the law. And then he expands on the theme of the believer's relationship to the law. And he says we're free from the law. We've died to the law. And we rejoice in that. He speaks of a wife and a husband married as long as they live, but death severs that relationship. And we left off last week with Revelation 19, 6 through 8. And I read again for you. It speaks of the rejoicing that is going on in heaven. And John writes in his revelation in the 19th chapter, the 6th verse, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. That's a pretty noisy place he's in. I heard what seemed to be a voice of great multitude, like the roar of many waters. Think of, y'all have been to Niagara Falls. You don't live that far from it. Hard to talk down at the base of the falls. It's loud. Like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out. What are they so excited about? Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. And then he says this in the 7th verse. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb? The Lamb gets married? And his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And as we read that, we were reminded of the fact that we are the bride of Christ. Christ, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ, is the husband of the church. And we discussed that at some length last week. Every one of you who is a born-again believer, you are the bride of Christ. Corporately and individually, you are the bride of Christ. Christ is the husband of the church, which means that you are, then, his bride. And what does Paul tell us about this? Well, Paul tells us about the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church, of how Jesus looks upon the church. How does he look at the bride, at you? And here is the instructions for you as husbands, because do you remember what we've been told? Husbands, from Ephesians, love your wives as the world says you should love your wives, as Christ loved the church. What is the pattern that we're to have? Christ's love for the church is the pattern of the husband's love for his wife. That's heavy duty. That's big. It's not this mushy, touchy-feely love concept that we have in our culture. We have a much better definition. And Paul tells us about the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ to his bride. And who is his bride? Just read it in Revelation. You are. You are individually and corporately. And corporately means not just you sitting here, but the church around the globe and throughout the ages. Paul tells us about what is our attitude because we see the attitude of Christ to the church. How does Jesus Christ look upon his bride? Well, who's his bride? The church. And so when he says, husbands, love your wives in the same way as Christ loves the church, we now have a pattern we can follow. It's not defined by the culture. It's not defined by our idea of what love is. It is, what do you see Christ doing with his bride? What do you see Christ doing with the church? How does Jesus look upon the church? And there is our instruction. There is our instruction for us as husbands. You say, well, how should I love my wife? Your love for your wife should be the same as Christ's love for the church. Now we've got to hunker down and say, well, how do we understand Christ's love for the church? How do we see it? Paul tells us some amazing things. As a believer, as a Christian, are you aware that there are certain things that are true about you as a member of the Christian church? Look at the characteristics of our Lord's attitude towards his bride. That's where we learn how we are to love our wives. What is the Lord's attitude towards his bride? You and I, believers, the church. And look at the characteristics of his attitude towards the bride, the church, towards you. Jesus loves the church. And husbands are to love their wives. And how are they to love their wives? Even as Christ loved the church, which drives us to say, we've got a good example. How does Christ love the church? And that's where we go. How did Christ love the church? And God calls you and I, he calls me, to echo his love for the church. Behold how he loves his people. Love your wife in the same way. He calls me to be an echo of his love for the church in my love for my wife, in your love for your wife. It's not some kind of abstract concept. It's very hard and real for us. God calls us to love our wives like Jesus loves the church, and like Jesus loves the church and demonstrates it. Well, let's meditate just for a few moments, if it would be possible. Let's meditate for a few moments on God's deep love. And we have to say it's a deep kind of love when we start looking at what he's doing for the church and we contemplate it from Scripture. And we look at the deep, complex love of Christ for his church, and it's unparalleled. We can't even understand all of it, but we don't have to do it in some esoteric way because we've got the example. I'm holding the example. I'm holding it in the Word of God. How does Jesus love the church? How does he see the church? How does he interact with the church? That's how I'm supposed to love my wife. That's how I'm supposed to interact with my wife. And you see how deep and complex and unparalleled that is? Do you understand what that's going to mean? When we look at God's love for us, God's love is deep. It's complex. It's unparalleled. What do we know about God's love for the church? What do you know about God's love for you? If you're a Christian individually, you're the church. Corporately, you're the church. What do we learn about the love of Christ for us? Well, now it becomes very real. And we understand God's love for us is a stubborn love. What do I mean by that? God's love for you and I, God's love for the church is a stubborn love. And he makes that clear from the beginning. And here's what we know. Do you remember when Jesus leaves this earth at the ascension? And in Matthew chapter 28, in the 20th verse, do you remember what he said? I know you remember. As soon as I say it, you'll say, oh yeah. Behold, off he's going in the ascension, and he says, behold, I am with you for a very long time. I am with you most of the time. He's leaving. This is the ascension. And here's his words to you and I as the church, the bride of Christ. I am with you always. And he doesn't leave it there. That'd be nice. That'd be good. But he punctuates it. I am with you always. And then he says, to the end of the age. Forever. When will he leave me? It's an enduring love. That's what we see. God's love for the church is a stubborn love. I am going nowhere. Right? I will never leave you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's a stubborn love. That's his love for the church. It's a stubborn love. I'm going nowhere. And our love for our wives? I'm going nowhere. I'm not leaving. When will it be over? Death will be the decider. Stubborn love. Jesus won't even leave his bride. Ever. And he says to her, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. And the love of Christ for his wife, the love of Christ for the church, is not based on her. It's not based on the church. I love you because. The love for his bride, the church, is not based on the bride. It's based on his covenant love for her. And it is a stubborn love. I will not leave. I'm going nowhere. I'm not going. It's a stubborn love. And it's based not on her, the church, but on the covenant I've made with you. So it's a stubborn love. We emphasize, when I do weddings, I emphasize the concept that the Bible emphasizes is that it's a covenant. This is a covenant ceremony. And covenants are different. It's a very solid thing. When we talk about covenants, why would you not leave? Well, because as long as you're behaving, I'll stick around. I like you. No, I made a covenant with you, and I will not break that covenant. Do you think God makes covenants lightly and then breaks them? Is that our God? His love for the church is not based on the church, but on the covenant he has for her, that he's made with her. And that makes it a stubborn love. I don't care what I find. I don't care what I see. I don't care. I will not break the covenant. I will not break the covenant I've made with you. I will not leave you. And when we keep our marriage covenants, and we make a marriage is a covenant, it's not a legal contract, it's a covenant. And when we keep our marriage covenants, we keep them through all of the challenges, all of the changes, all through the years of married life. We didn't say as long as or until. The only until is till death us do part. till God takes one of us, then the covenant of marriage is broken. How does God love his church? How does he love you? He keeps his covenant with us. I'm telling you, you can trust him and take him at his word. What he says in his word, he will do. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What do you draw from that as a church? Whew. What can I do that will make you want to leave me? There is nothing. It's not about your behavior. It's about the covenant. Through all the challenges, all of the changes over years of married life, we are to reflect God's kind of stubborn love. I will not break the covenant. We're not much for that in our culture these days, you know. That's not the cultural norm, but it is the norm for the church. God's love is a stubborn love. He will not violate that covenant he made with the body of Christ, with his bride. No matter what, the changes come, the challenges come. He will not change. And we are to reflect God's kind of stubborn love. But I'll tell you something about it, as you'll know, and we see it in Scripture, we see it in our own lives and in our own marriages. We are to reflect God's stubborn love. I made a covenant and I will keep it. I'm going nowhere. But you know what? That stubborn love is a love that is filled with delight. Filled with delight and comfort. Wouldn't it be our desire that our wives know the comfort of love that says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, which is exactly what God says to the church. I will never leave you, Hebrews 13:5, nor will I forsake you. What a comfort that is. What a delight-filled love that is. Our wives know the comfort of that kind of love. What will separate us? Nothing. I will not violate the covenant I made. And I made that covenant in church, and I made that covenant before the body of believers and before a holy God, and I will not break it. Stubborn love. But it's a delight-filled love. It's a comforting love that says, I will never leave. I will never forsake you. When Jesus looks at your bride, when he looks at my wife, and he looks at your wife. You know how he sees her? And Scripture makes this very clear. When Jesus looks, when God looks at Betsy, put your wife's name in there, that's not your wife, that's my wife. You know how he sees her? According to Scripture, already sanctified. When Jesus looks at her, your bride, he sees her as already sanctified. This hope is anchored in the power and in the promise of the gospel. Paul writes to believers, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, in Ephesians where we are, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes it this way, Jesus sees his bride not only as already sanctified, he already sees the church of Jesus Christ as already sanctified. We see in Ephesians, cleansed, washed, not a blot, not a wrinkle, not a spot, anything. He sees us that way because it's already done. We're still growing. But he not only sees his bride, the church, already sanctified, but it goes further. He sees his bride already glorified. Already in glory. And that's what we see in Romans 8. In the 30th verse of Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's all done. He sees it as done. It's done. He sees the bride in her beauty, in her glorified beauty. He sees his bride in her glorified beauty because he's already accomplished it. It's done on the cross. It's finished. So you're the church. You're going to be sanctified. You're going to be glorified. And Jesus, when he looks at you, already sees that. How do we then love our wives? Change your vision. Well, she's imperfect. Yes, she is. But look at her as God looks at her. She's already sanctified. It's a done deal. You can't stop it. And glorified. And that's what we see. And so as 1 Corinthians 13:7 states, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Why? Because I know what God is doing. God is working. And as he loves his bride, he sees his bride for what she will be. How do we see our bride? I wish she was different. See her as what God is doing in her. That's part of what your job is as a husband, is to help her mature in her faith and grow, be sanctified. And if you were to see your bride sanctified, it would be pretty impressive. And as 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I wonder how often would your wife say that concerning your love for her? How often would our bride say, he bears all things, he believes all things, he hopes all things, he endures all things, because he knows God is not done with me yet. Your love for your bride, your love for your wife, your love for her hopes all things. Your love for her hopes all things, as Paul says in Corinthians, by keeping what? Well, I'm looking at her right here and now. No. Paul's not saying that. Slide that over here. See? Now I want you to see what we got. The present. Slide the door this way. Eternity. Present. Eternity. You say, well, I'm looking at her and I'm seeing in the present. And Scripture says, what does God do with us? His love for us. He slides that door and says, I see it in eternity. I see what you are. Ultimately, as the church, my bride. What? How would that change how we would love our wives if we said, just slide that door and look at it as God looks at his church in eternity. Redeemed, justified, glorified. It adds that flavor to what Paul says we're supposed to be doing with our wives. Your love for your wife is to hope all things by keeping eternity in mind. You can have patience with your wife, just as Jesus has patience with the church, doesn't he? Why? He sees you as you will be. Why is he patient with his church? Doesn't come down and crush us. He sees us as we will be. Who's going to make that happen? He is making it happen. He's cleansing us, justifying, the whole process of justification. And so we are to keep eternity in mind. You can have patience with your wife, just as Jesus does with the church. And he has patience with you. Why? Because he sees, not just with this. Here's today. Okay, I see Rick through today. Not so good. And then I look at him through eternity's lens and I say, look what I'm going to do with him. Look what I'm going to do. Look what I'm doing. And that's what God is doing with each of us and the church. And when we think of our wives, it's the same truth. Look through the lens of eternity. By keeping eternity in mind, you can have patience with your wife, just as God does, Jesus does with the church. And God is patient, not just with the church. He's patient with you. Why? Because he sees what he's doing in you, in sanctifying you, bringing you to glory, glorification. He'll bring you all the way home. He's not going to leave you off somewhere. All the way home. And he sees what you will be when he's done with you. And he sees what the church will be when he is done with her. And we have that same love. How are we to love? And now it starts taking on some more formal realities, some realities of not just feelings, but here we're looking at spiritual truths. When Jesus looks at my wife, at your wife, at your bride, at the church, his bride, he sees her as already sanctified. And this hope is anchored in the power of the gospel, not in anything I can do. It's anchored in the power of the gospel and the promises of the word of God. Because Paul writes to believers and scripture says to us, Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In fact, he sees his bride not only as already sanctified, but already glorified. How often would your wife say that your love for her hopes all things? God's love for his church hopes all things. Now we get real practical. Then if we're to love as Christ loves the church, then we should be hoping all things, trusting in the power and the majesty and the glory and the holiness of God. Keep eternity in mind. And you can have patience with one another, just as Jesus does with us. But it's not just an enduring love. There's more to the love of Christ than just that. It's a love that pursues. Praise God for that. Jesus never takes a break from pursuing his bride. Now that's not something we're talking about romantically. You know, we have the world's always talking about love, and they have no definition for it. Their definition for it is not the biblical definition for love. It's touchy-feely. It's always self-centered. It's always come back to me, what I want, what I need. Not so. God's love for us pursues us. He never takes a break from pursuing his bride's heart. He wants his bride's heart. And he pursues her. That's you and I, the church. Not romantically, as the world would define it, but persistently. When does he lay it down and say, no more, I'm done? He never will. How long will he persistently pursue us and love us? Never takes a break. He cares not only about our devotion, but he also cares about our affection. Affection? Yeah. This is the pursuing aspect of God's love. And we'll pick it up here next week when we gather again. That God's love pursues us. And he never lays it down. You're the bride of Christ. He's never going to leave you. Not going to happen. That's how he loves us. He sees us for what he will make us to be. The lens of eternity. And he pursues us. And he wants us to be devoted to him, to love him back. He cares not only about the church's devotion, but he wants us to love us back. Jesus lays out the picture of the tireless shepherd. It's a good illustration for what God does with you and I as the church. We'll come to this we're over our time for today, so let's stop. Father, we thank you for your word, for your spirit, for the truth of the word. Guide us in its truth. We thank you for the nuts and bolts realities and how it speaks to us as the bride of Christ, and how you love us, and how we are, as your word says, to love our wives as you love us. And that has some real sledgehammer kind of realities for us. May your spirit guide our minds and our thoughts through this week as we contemplate both the reality of our being the bride of Christ and the reality of you've given us a bride and a groom. We have mates, and what it means to be loving as you love the church. Open our eyes that we might see, Father, to the glory of your name. For we ask it all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.